I want to begin my thoughts today, and not with comments on a text, not a typical sermon, but rather some thoughts about this next year here at Long Grove Community Church. My thoughts, the things I'm going to share with you, are not written in stone, nor are they the result of some vision of God that God has given me, nor are they the result of a bad burrito. But they are things that I've been thinking about, and especially as the year has wound itself up, and I have great conviction about. I hope that they will be put into action, but that will take all of us, not just me, not just Pastor Tony, not just the staff, not just the elders, but you as well. All of us. It'll take all of us. For the sake of consistency, I'm kind of calling them initiatives. But on the way down this morning, I thought maybe I should call them resolutions. Things that we resolve to seek to try and accomplish for the sake of building the kingdom of God here in and through Long Grove Community Church. They're not going to be earth-shaking. I wish they were. But they're not in and of themselves. But I do believe they can lead to earth-shaking results, should God choose to use them. As I present them, they're not necessarily in any order of priority, except possibly the first one. Other than the priority of the very first one, I just present them in whatever order they come as I was writing out my thoughts. So let's begin. Initiative or resolution number one. Pastor Bill must lose weight. Oh, that's my personal. No, I'm just, I do, but other than that, that's just a truth. But first of all, the first thing, and this is to me is a priority. Pastor Tony talked about prayer. We need to elevate the priority of prayer. What I mean, and how I want to do that, I'll give you some specifics. One of the ways, I'd love to see 25 new prayer warriors join our prayer team. Right now we have 63 people on our prayer team. 10 of them are former members. They no longer attend here. That means 53 are currently attending. I'd like to see us add 25 more who will say that they will be faithful and pray for the needs as they are communicated to you. And if you're on that prayer team, that prayer warrior team, you already know that we give it to you through email. A prayer request comes in. When the request comes in, that person identifies whether or not they want it shared with the prayer team or they just want it to be elders only or elders and staff. And if they say elders only, it only goes to the elders. If it's elders and staff, it goes to the elders and staff. If they mark that it's for the prayer line, then we send it to all of these folks who have said, I'm willing and wanting to pray for the needs as they are made known. So we would love to see 25 more people join that list and increase the power of prayer for the needs that come to our attention. And then secondly, every Thursday evening, there's a handful of us that meet here, right here in this room, to pray for the needs of this church every Thursday. We started it, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks before Thanksgiving of last year, so we've been doing it a little over a year. And there are generally about 15 chairs set up. And sometimes we fill them, and sometimes we don't. I would love to have to set up 25 chairs on a consistent basis. And every once in a while, maybe add a few more to that. 1 hour a week is all that we meet to pray as a community for this church and the needs that are brought to our attention. I want to see that grow. 1 hour. 1 hour. And just so you hear it from me and from Pastor Tony, we talked about this earlier this week. We don't expect you to be here every week. We're not asking you to give up every Thursday night to come and pray. That's not what I'm asking for. I mean, ultimately, that's between you and God. But we have been meeting every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. for this 1 hour of prayer. And I would venture to say that 80% of you have not come one time. And I don't say that to offer guilt. I really don't. But it's just, how can we not come together for prayer as a community? I believe there's power when we gather in prayer, when we gather as a community in prayer. And so I want to just ask you, think about this past year. Was there not one Thursday night that you could give up 1 hour to come and gather for prayer? And that's all I'm asking. And then let God lead you after that. Once you come and you experience it, you may feel like, hey, this is something I want to do every night, every Thursday, or maybe every other Thursday, whatever. We'll let God determine that, but at least try it one time. And see what happens. See how God will bless your heart in that time of prayer. I truly believe that if this church is to move forward in making an impact upon our lives, but just as importantly, on the lives of others, then prayer is the key. It has to be the priority. So I'm going to encourage you to think about being one of those 25 to join our prayer team. And I'm going to challenge all of us, whenever we gather, to create an opportunity for prayer, whether it's in a life group or a Thursday night as a start, or maybe in your discipleship clusters, maybe even when you just get together for social purposes, you might just take a moment with one another, and other than praying for the food that you may be having, pray for some need that you're aware of that is facing this church or someone within the church. D.A. Carson is a man that I greatly admired, had a profound influence in my life. And he's written a wonderful book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation, Praying with Paul. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, he's a theologian. It's going to be all theological and deep, and I'm never going to. No, it's not. It's written with a pastor's heart. In fact, the first half of the book are sermons that he has preached over the years on prayer. And it's a marvelous book. But I want to read to you what he says. He first, in the first opening pages, he goes through all of the needs that the church needs to be addressing today in our world. And he notes the importance of addressing the growing lack of biblical knowledge, of the need to teach biblically about marriage and sexual identity, of the need for the church to be in the forefront of racial and ethnic reconciliation, of the need for the church to train believers in the message of the gospel and to grow them as disciples. And then he writes this. Clearly, all of these things are important. Although this book calls for a reformation in our praying, I would not want anything to say that I say to be taken as disparagement of evangelism and worship, a diminishing of the importance of purity and integrity, a carelessness about disciplined Bible study. But there is a sense in which these urgent needs are symptomatic of a far more serious lack. The one thing we most urgently need is a deeper knowledge of God. We need to know God better. One of the foundational steps in knowing God and one of the basic demonstrations that we do know God is prayer. Spiritual, persistent, biblically minded prayer. We have learned to organize, build institutions, publish books, insert ourselves into the media, develop evangelistic church planting strategies, and administer discipleship programs. But is it not obvious that we have forgotten how to pray? He goes on. Most pastors testified to the decline in personal, family, and corporate prayers in much of the Western world. Well-organized concerts of prayer may be good things, but some of them at least. However, we are light years away from prayer meetings held in parts of the world that have tasted the breath of heaven sent revival. Moreover, it is far from clear that we are changing the prayer habits of our churches or the private prayer discipline of significant numbers of believers. We can probe even more deeply. Where is our delight in praying? Where is our sense that we are meeting with the living God, that we are undertaking work that He has assigned, that we are interceding with genuine unction before the throne of grace? When was the last time we came away from a period of intercession feeling that, like Jacob or Moses, that we had prevailed with God? What is wrong? Is not this sad state of affairs some sort of index of our knowledge of God? Shall we not agree with J.I. Packer when he writes, "I believe that prayer is the measure of the man, spiritually, in a way that nothing else is, so that how we pray is as important a question as we can ever face." The importance of prayer, the priority of prayer. Again, let me say it. I believe that if this church's impact in our lives, but also well beyond the walls of this church, is dependent upon the priority of prayer in our lives individually, but also corporately. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." I thought about that this morning, Pastor. I actually was in your pulpit a year ago today, and I preached that text, the importance of prayer. So let's raise the priority of prayer, not only corporately, but individually in our lives and in the life of this church. Second initiative, I call for an expansion of our Alpha ministry. We featured Alpha last winter and Beta this fall. if we're to reach people beyond our walls and yet within our personal touches, then this is an important ministry. Now, there might be some of you who say, well, I don't even know what Alpha is. So let me just very briefly. Alpha is a 10-week series of dinner conversations that explore the Christian faith in a very non-threatening and non-judgmental setting. Pastor Tony mentioned it's going to be in downtown Long Grove. We held it downtown at a restaurant last year. We're doing the same thing this year. It's held on Tuesday evenings from 6:30 to 8:30. And the first few, obviously the first time period is for dinner and just kind of reconnecting with one another. But it's based on a video series that looks at life's most challenging and important questions and stimulates conversation about those questions. So I want to challenge you to think of someone to invite to our Alpha ministry when we kick it off, January 30th, just a few days from now, about a month. Pray about it, think about it, then pray some more. God will lay a name on your heart, I guarantee it. And He will also give you the courage to ask them to come. In fact, as I was thinking about that, I asked one of our folks who went to Alpha last winter to write out something for me. I asked them a series of questions, and they gave me permission to read this. So Pastor Bill asked me a question. What brought to my mind the idea of inviting someone? Really? That would be our lovely pastor and associate pastor who kept asking the congregation to invite someone to Alpha. When they would ask, I answered quietly to myself, well, that's not me. They're talking to everyone else here. Then the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to ask our neighbors. Let me rephrase, hounded me. I, of course, said no. I don't want to do something that's not in my wheelhouse. My no was rejected by God. Who knew? So the hounding continued. I must say he was a bit relentless. But some might say I'm a bit stubborn or a rockhead. So I kept being nagged because I kept saying no. The first day of Alpha, I hadn't asked our neighbors. Then I started to feel real guilty. So I texted them. Didn't have the guts to pick up the phone. Before I texted them, I texted Pastor Bill and asked for prayers for this. Apparently, he listened. Our neighbors said yes, and now, of course, I'm a wreck because what if they don't like it? Amazing how I think it is in my control. Our friends loved it and continued through the next step, beta, and have now joined our small group. So what have I learned? I know I will always be a stubborn blockhead, but God only asked for a few seconds of my time, and then it's all His job, His journey with whoever chooses to follow Him. More importantly, I realized I don't have my act together. I have learned and have grown in my relationship with Christ through this experience with Alpha and Beta. I've absolutely loved Alpha and Beta and can't wait to see the next step. I believe I have been changed more than our neighbors have. And I am sure you're wondering if I will ask someone again. Well, honestly, the answer is no. But we know how that all worked out. God has a way of working things out. I was asked 17 years ago to join a Bible study. When I finally agreed, I did it so I would stop being asked. One session, and I would be done. Oh, I haven't been out of a study now in 17 years. And now I lead one with tons of help from the Holy Spirit. All of this has grown me, taught me, brought me closer to God. One would think I'm the one being pursued through God asking me to obey. He is working in me as I listen to Him. For my neighbors, their journey with God is personal. I pray they continue on their journey. It is definitely a wonderful ride. Unbelievable what a few seconds of my time has done. Your ever-loving blockhead, Susan Treiner. We want to offer Alpha twice a year, not just once. Once in the winter setting, and then in spring, and then once in the fall. Biblically, we have a mandate. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Initiative number 2, expand Alpha. Number 3, we want to see our life groups grow. At this time, there's about 50% of us as adults that are involved in life groups. That means that there's 50% who aren't. They're not engaged in any kind of small group interaction, any kind of small group relationship, whether it's an alpha group, a beta group, or some other small group relationship. And I believe that one's spiritual growth is best pursued in relationship. And in a relationship within a small group, it becomes very, very special. So I'm going to ask those of you who are not involved in a small group relationship, will you prayerfully consider becoming involved in that? We have a brochure here. We've revised it, and I don't have the revised one. But this is a brochure. They're available out in the foyer of all the small groups that we have meeting. And so I want you to pray about joining a small group, a life group, and letting other people walk with you in your life, spiritually and emotionally and at times physically, encouraging you in your walk with Christ. If there isn't something that fits your calendar, your schedule, I offer myself and Pastor Tony to meet one-on-one with you, and we'll walk through some kind of material with you. We'll do it on a regular basis. If you're a woman, we'll find a mature woman to meet with you. I just think that we need to be with one another other than on a Sunday morning. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 26, it says this: "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I can, without any hesitation, tell you, I would not be standing here today were it not for the fact that there was a loving small group that we've been a part of now going on 14 years, who walked with us through the hills and the valleys of life. If it weren't for them, I honestly wouldn't be here. Imagine what God might want to do in your life if you're connected with one another in a very small, loving community of a life group. So let's grow our life groups. If you want to know more, see Pastor Tony, see myself. We'll be happy to talk more about that with you. Fourth, and it's kind of related to this, I want to see us launch at least a pilot program of a neighborhood group, a workplace group. This is a small group-based ministry that would be resourced by the church, but it will be for the purpose of reaching out to our neighbors and our coworkers, and not just one another, of engaging them in their life and in their faith. I believe that if we will see these, we need to see these groups as getting beyond the walls of our church and getting into the neighborhoods where we live and the workplaces where we earn our living. I believe if we will see that as a means of outreach, if we'll see that as a means of being missional in our living, that God will honor that, and we will see fruit come from that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus defines for us our missional territory. When he says, "When you have received the power of the Holy Spirit," friends, we have received the power of the Holy Spirit, amen? "You will be my witnesses." You will be my witnesses. There's no wiggle room there. In Jerusalem. Okay, go ahead, put the next slide up. That's here in Long Grove in the area around us. That's what Alpha is about. Some of our small groups meet here. So right, that's us in the immediate vicinity. But he goes on, he says, "And in all Judea." Well, that's your neighborhoods. That's your workplaces. That's where you spend almost all of the rest of your life, except for a few hours during the week at church. And Samaria. To me, that's the rest of the country, and we've got some work going on in the rest of the country. I think of Megan and Brown. That's her old name. I didn't even know her then. The Winters, of course. And then to the ends of the earth. Well, that's the outreach ministries that are globally directed. That's overseas. That's our missionaries that are ministering in other parts of the world. You know, the really cool thing is we already have something like this going, and what I think is really cool about it is me, Pastor Tony, the staff, the elders, had nothing to do with it. We've got two workplace groups going and one neighborhood study going. God laid on the heart of two of our women to start a study in their workplaces, and one of our women to start a study in their neighborhood. I love that. That's taking it out there. If we can't get them here, then let's take it to them there. And I asked one of the women with one of the workplace groups to answer some questions. And so let me just read some of her responses. What first brought to your mind the idea of starting a workplace study? Well, I worked closely with a Christian lady and was telling her about Priscilla Scherer's The Armor of God study that my Long Grove Church Life group was doing. The study really helped me understand how spiritual warfare was contributing to my stress with workplace dynamics. Over time, she noticed the change in my demeanor and how peaceful I was becoming under stress. I kept telling her about the study as it progressed, and we decided to see if some of the other women in our department would like to do it with us. What were some of the hurdles, concerns, fears you had to work through? Well, how could we fit the study into our work day? When and where to hold it? We couldn't take up a conference room during working hours. Would people want to stay after work to do it? Her employer, I'm not going to give you the name, but for sake of don't want to give him any commercial, only works 4 hours on Fridays, so we scheduled the session at 1 o'clock on Fridays where we could be in, and there'd be no conflict with work hours or conference rooms. We talked to our director about what we wanted to do, and she agreed that the time we chose would not be problematic to the company. She was invited to join, but she did decide not to. Well, how did you go about inviting coworkers? We invited all the women in the department to come via email. We built it as team building. We included Christians, Jews, Hindus. The Hindu lady accepted at first, but then declined, saying she didn't want to stay after work on Fridays. There are seven of us doing the study. And here's what she says. It's going to take a lot more than six sessions to get through the book because we're going through it pretty slow, she says. Well, what has this experience taught you? To be more open about my faith, not to hesitate in talking to people of different faiths. We can respectfully express Christian viewpoints to non-Christians. The way we did it was to tell others about a tactic that helps us deal with some issues we're going through. Hopefully our actions will get those that chose not to join to question what our faith is all about. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do the work of getting people to accept our beliefs. Joe Brenner. Well, we would like to see that expand. We'd like to see more and more of that. And so we're hoping to launch something of that where we actually are helping to resource it as a church and expand that kind of ministry. The fact of the matter is, if we can't find a way to get our friends, our neighbors, and our coworkers to come to church events, and let's go to them. In the Great Commission, and also in Acts 2, Jesus, his marching orders are to go, not to stay, to go. We're to take the beauty of the gospel to them outside the walls of this wonderful little church, to take it to places where I can't go, Pastor Tony can't go, but you're already there. It's up to us to take it to where we already are. So launch neighborhood and workplace groups. Fifth, strengthen our relationship with internationals, specifically Centro Cristiano. We have a really great opportunity in front of us. It's been there for years with Centro Cristiano. We need to find ways to meaningfully partner with Centro so that we can be a witness that Christ truly has broken down the walls that separate people groups. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, Paul writes this, Christ has brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross was not to embrace, was got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. The walls have come down. Or have they? Or have they? Spiritually, in the eyes of God, but functionally they haven't. And this was also on the heart of our Savior in the final hours of his life when he offers the high priestly prayer in John 17. He says this, my prayer is not for them alone. He's referring to the disciples. He just prayed for the disciples. He said, I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. See what's at stake there? When we present unity in Christ, the world takes note. It is a witness to the world. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What a powerful, powerful truth. My friends, at a time when our country, our world is in such divisiveness, it exists everywhere. There's gulfs developing between people of different color, different politics, different economics. There's a cry, a need for Christ to be seen as the one who can bridge all of those gaps and bring people together. And we have a chance to do that here at Long Grove, in my opinion. In my opinion. In fact, I think we have a command to do this. And failure to make this effort, I think, would be a failure to hear the voice of Christ to us through the Word. So we're going to be exploring with Pastor Alberto and Central what this could look like. How can we bring the two together from time to time and serve alongside and worship together as children of the living God? So I'm going to be meeting with Pastor Alberto, probably Pastor Tony and I, and we're going to talk about maybe a pulpit exchange, maybe a worship team exchange. That would be interesting. Oh, I didn't hear a resounding amen to that, but we already have we already do a Good Friday service with them. What if we took our family Christmas Eve service that we didn't do it this year because of the timing, but normally we hold around 4 o'clock, 4:30 on Christmas Eve, and we make that a joint service with them? How about identifying and collaborating on at least one outreach opportunity during the year? Maybe Feed My Starving Children, or maybe a work day at Faith Acres, or in some other fashion. They already serve in our parking lot. They man the one afternoon every weekend that we have parking. And they do a great job. So what can we do to collaborate with them? And I know some of you, you're getting really nervous now. I don't know. That's okay. Be nervous about it. We're going to be about this prayerfully, carefully. We want them to know that they're still Central and we're still Long Grove Community Church, but just every once in a while, we stand as one church before the world and before our God. So we want to strengthen our relationship with them. And sixth, I have a vision that we can be a part of God's encouraging the next generation of church leaders. And that's what Jesus was doing when he was mentoring his disciples. He was preparing them. That's what Paul did in his mentoring of Timothy. In fact, I have some verses I want to just read to you where Paul reminds Timothy. I remind you, Timothy, to flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust them to men who will also be qualified to teach others. It's a multiplying effect. And I have a real passion and a burden for this. I want to really begin to be a part of what God can use among many, not just me alone, but among many tools that God uses to develop the men and women who will be serving the churches of the future. One of the ways that we want to do that is through a formal internship program with Trinity. Maybe Moody, maybe even Wheaton. Who knows where God could take it? I've had conversations already with the powers that be at Trinity, and they would love to see us have a formal internship program ongoing, where students are given the opportunity to come and minister among you, the body of Christ. You know, I was talking to Dr. Sell, who heads up that program, and he said, you know, a lot of our students, they want to be going to the big churches where they got the Willow Creeks and the Harvests and all that, where they have these very large internship programs. He said, but the fact of the matter is that 90% of those guys are going to be in churches your size, and they'll have had no practical experience in churches like that. So we want to see what we can do. Just stay tuned on that one. So those are six initiatives that I've been really thinking about, that I've been praying about, that are on my heart. And again, none of them are earth-shaking, are they? You know, there's not a build a building, launch and plant a church somewhere. It's just stuff that we need to be doing in order to be all that God has created us to be as Long Grove Community Church. So will you join me in moving these forward? Will you pray about them? Will you talk with one another about them in constructive ways and become involved in helping us with these? Now, let me just say this. No one expects you to be involved in each and every one of these, obviously. I mean, but we do hope and pray that you will at least choose to be part of one of them, at least one of them, being led by the Holy Spirit. And then if you want to be involved more, then let the Spirit lead you to that. I mean, I recognize, and Pastor Tony recognizes, that there's life outside this church. Amen? You've got homes, you've got family, you've got jobs. You have other things that you're involved with. All we're saying is create a missional mindset so that when you're doing that, you're representing Christ. And then also maybe one of these things you can give some time to and invest yourself. I want to break the 80-20 rule in this church. I don't know if any church has ever done it, but I want to. I want to break that old 80-20 rule. And I want to find God using each and every one of us to further his kingdom in our lives and through our lives individually and corporately. When we were planning today's service, we wanted it to be a little different. That's the reason for the tables and all of this kind of stuff. But I want you to pray right now over these things. We've listed them up there. And I just want you to, at your tables, just pray. Just ask God to lead this church and your pastors and your elders as we seek to address these initiatives. And then pray about what your involvement might be. We're going to give you 5 minutes. If you're a visitor and this is your first time or second time, you don't feel comfortable praying, that's okay. You don't have to pray. But someone at your table can pray. I can see the tables. I know we've got people at each of these tables that'll pray. But I'd love it to be more conversational where you a number of you can participate. So let's just take 5 minutes. Let's just pray about these things. And in 5 minutes, I'm going to bring us to a close in prayer. I'll close this part out in prayer. Okay? So let's pray. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all the lives that have passed through the doors of this church and how they have been impacted by your Spirit and how those lives have impacted so many others. I think one day in heaven we're going to see the vast impact of this church when we celebrate Christ and all that he has done through it. We lay these initiatives before you, Lord. As of right now, that's all they are, initiatives. I pray that we will grab them and allow you to lead us as we seek to move forward as a church in making a difference in the lives of those who are part of us and in the lives of those that are outside the doors, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, not for our sake, but for the sake of your name and your kingdom and your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I actually was going to have two parts to my sermon. First part was what we shared. The second part was to be a little bit of fun. But we have more to do yet today. So let's do it. Let's do it real quick. I want to share something. I've been wanting to do this for years. And it's kind of fun. It's something I read a number of years ago. You know, sometimes the Bible seems so overwhelming, and we think, oh, I'll never get my head around this. There's verses I don't understand. There's things that are happening I don't understand. And we get very complex and very complicated about it. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible is not very complicated. And I saw an article a number of years ago that kind of simplified it, and I want to share that with you. And if you're interested in getting a copy of this, then just call the office or email me, and I'll be happy to send you a copy of this. But it's kind of creative, and so I'm going to run through this really quick. It's called The Bible in 50 Words. Okay? Here we go. God made, Adam bit, Noah arced, Abraham split, Jacob fooled, Joseph ruled, Bush talked, Moses balked, Pharaoh plagued, people walked, sea divided, tablets guided, promise landed, Saul freaked, David peaked, prophets warned, Jesus born, God walked, love talked, anger crucified, hope died, love rose, spirit flamed, word spread, and God remained. Isn't that cool? I don't know who wrote it. I've never been able to find the original author. I just think it's a great thing. I can send that to you if you're interested. I've got some verses or some chapters, some scriptural references that go with what it's talking about. It's kind of fun. Parents, grandparents, use it with your kids. You can kind of talk about the stories that each word represents. Obviously, the only one that you might have the most trouble with is Saul freaked. And that's King Saul. That's not the Saul of the New Testament. Saul freaked. And if you know his story, you'll know what that's referring to. Otherwise, read the book. Read the book. Luke, would you come and lead us in our song?